Now, did you ever think that in 2020 we would be in flying cars? I used to think that. I'm dating myself a little bit, but I loved the Jetsons when I was a little girl. I loved the Flintstones and I loved the Jetsons. So the Flintstones were prehistoric, the Jetsons were futuristic. I even think they might have been on in the evening sometimes, you know, primetime TV. And I just remember being so excited that we would be flying by 2020. And it's not happened yet. I also remember thinking it was so cool how George would jump on the moving sidewalk. That was cool, too. And his car would actually fold up into a briefcase. Those of you who've never seen the Jetsons, you've got to check it out on YouTube. The thing is, we do have moving sidewalks. They're at the airport and probably other places, and I am highly disappointed in them because I can walk faster than they go. So it's not quite as exciting for me as flying in a car would be. And so I'm still kind of holding out. Maybe 2040, do you think there's a possibility? I don't know. Anyway, I also was really hoping that by now we would have, you know, Rosie the robot maid. And that hasn't happened either. I don't even have a Roomba. Does anybody here have a Roomba? Well, that's cool. At least you're partway there with some sense of, you know, robotic help cleaning your house. Not one of my favorite things in the world. But anyway, here we are, 2020. Happy New Year. And we're going to focus our sights on where our journey of faith is going to lead us in this year, in this futuristic sort of year. It was actually last week that I started a series that I would say this is the second part to that series. And it was prompted by planning my sermon for last weekend and having God, it felt like God anyway, suggest that we read through the Bible as a church in the coming year. And I got kind of excited about that, but then I started thinking, oh man, this might be more than we can really do in a year as a whole group of people. So I texted Pastor Christina, and she thought it was an awesome idea. So then I'm like, yeah, it is an awesome idea. So we are doing that for 2020. We are going to read through the Bible. Now, last year, our focus was on prayer. And we started talking about prayer and then practicing it more and more. And by August, we had started an intercessory prayer group so that we meet every Sunday evening and we pray through prayer requests. And we've seen prayers answered and things are changing. Things change when that happens. And God has asked us to go one step deeper in our spiritual practices by adding reading through the Bible. Now, as you came in tonight or last week, you should have gotten something that looks like this, a 5-day Bible reading program. Does anyone not have that in their possession and need it? Okay, you're going to get it. Greta's going to come up and give that to you. So what this plan is that it's 5 days a week. That's why it's called 5-day. Monday through Friday, you read. And I started last week so I can be a week ahead so that I can do the sermon prep. And the sermon on Saturday night will include preaching from a portion of scripture that we've read that week. So you're going to start reading this on the 5th of January. And when you come next week, which who knows what the date will be, maybe the 11th, I think that's what it is. The sermon that I will bring that day and then the 18th, Christina's going to be preaching, will be tied to some portion of scripture that we've read. So I think it's going to be a fun challenge to go through that. Now with this reading plan, you can read just the New Testament. So there's New Testament reading every day, or you can read all the scriptures that it lists for the day, and then by the end of 2020, we'll have read through the entire Bible. It takes about 20 minutes a day. It is not a very long time per day to get through the entire Bible, which is an interesting sort of phenomenon. This is chronological, which means that sometimes you're going to be skipping ahead a ways in the Bible and then going back, but they've set it up so that it follows a timeline rather than just starting at Genesis and reading to Revelation, which I've tried before, and I have not made it through that way. So I think this will be a lot more fun. So we're going to continue to tie in prayer. Prayer didn't end on December 31st, 2019 at 11:59 p.m. Our focus on prayer did not end there. But as I mentioned, we're adding a new spiritual discipline. But we need to be really careful that we don't just think of it as, oh, this is a spiritual discipline and I have to do that. This is more than that. This is embracing the Word of God. This means that when we sit down to read, it'd be a great idea to ask the Holy Spirit to sit down with us. And as we read, for the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word of God as we're reading it. That's why God gave us His Spirit, so that we can understand His heart. And we find His heart in the Scripture. So what's going to happen to us this year, as we do take the time to spend daily in the Scripture and in prayer, we're going to see that our hearts are more full. How many of you watched the Grinch movie over the holidays? Yeah, remember how his heart grew 3 times bigger? I think that's what happens when we connect with God through the Holy Spirit and then the Word. Our hearts are going to get fuller. Our hearts are going to get larger. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned how we were going to look at a scripture about the Messiah coming. And I said, it's a deep well, this scripture is, and we'll be lucky to just barely brush the bottom of this deep, deep pool of knowledge and wisdom and goodness and hope and peace that is available through the scriptures. And this year as a church, as we read through the Bible, that's what we're doing. Is we're diving deeper into those waters. It won't just be on Sunday morning or Saturday night. I did it. I thought I'd adjusted to that. That's going to be my New Year's resolution. I don't usually make resolutions. I'm going to try so hard to refer to the time we meet as Saturday night instead of Sunday morning, okay? So you guys hold me to it. Maybe we need a money jar or something that I have to put coins in every time I say Sunday morning. Anyway, as we go deeper in the Word, what we're going to find is that we are spending more time down where the mysteries of God lie. I don't know if you ever watch those nature shows that take you into the deep and you see some of the things that are like living in the bottom of the sea, in the bottom of the ocean. And it's a whole different world than we see with our eyes every day. And that's what it's like when you spend time in the Word of God. You go deeper into a pool and you see things that otherwise on a daily basis you do not see the same way. God's Word is a deep pool, and we are going to go deeper because God wants us to go deeper. Make sure, though, that you keep me and Christina accountable to this and that we do it together as a team, that we don't just think of it as a discipline and a practice, because sometimes we can be deceived that it's about appearances instead of about heart change. And God desires heart change. Amen? Amen? Right? Amen. He desires heart change. And so that's something that we need to guard ourselves against as we are going through this practice this year is that we don't let it just be appearances only, that we allow ourselves to be in the Word and for the Word to soak into us. Now, God gave me one of the busiest weeks of the year, Christmas week. It started on Sunday evening with our family dinner, which we do traditionally with my kids and grandkids ever since my husband passed away in October of 2018 now. We meet every 6 weeks or so for a family dinner. And it was family dinner night, Christmas celebration, family dinner. So we did that, and then lo and behold, that night, one of my granddaughters started coughing, and we thought, oh, she caught that cold everybody else had. But by Tuesday, she was diagnosed with influenza B. So Christmas looked a little bit different. It was a little smaller than planned, but it was still spent at my daughter's house. And Ellie did a lot of lying on the couch. But by evening, she came around, and we were all singing karaoke till, you know, the kids went to bed. And then we really sang karaoke after that. And then on Friday, I know that I mentioned last week because my family members were here, a group of family came who I hadn't seen in 10 years, and they drove up from San Antonio in their RV, well, not their RV, they rented an RV. They're considering buying an RV. We won't even go there. And they parked in front of my house for 2 days, and so I had my niece and her husband and a 12, 14, and 16-year-old boys. And my tree in front of my house is huge. I have a redwood in front of my house. No one has ever climbed that redwood. But guess what? The first thing they wanted to do was climb that tree, and they climbed that tree. And then I think it was on Sunday morning, their middle child, Michael, comes in and goes, oh, I just climbed your tree. You know, it's like 7 a.m. It was just like, okay, I hope you have good insurance because I need a waiver signed about now. But anyway, it was really fun and really busy, and it felt like it lasted clear through last Monday. And I think God did that for me as a gift to kind of keep my mind active and my body active that whole time. And then December 31st hit, New Year's Eve. And what I found last year was that when 2018 was going to end, I didn't want it to end. My husband, as many of you know, unexpectedly died in October. And then 2018 was going to end, and I was never going to have a year again where he was alive with me. And I did not want to turn that page of the calendar. I did not want to leave that behind. And it was agonizing. It felt like it was going to be the end of my life. But 2019 came. And then 2019 went. And this last Tuesday, I started having those same feelings again. I'm thinking, this is putting me even further away from the life I had with Ted, this person I loved and was married to for 40 years, and all of our memories. And so I was really aching and sad on Tuesday. But you know what else Tuesday is? You probably don't. Tuesday is my sermon writing day. So I sat with God saying, okay, part two of this introductory sermon about reading through the Bible. Here we go, God. Show me where you want me to go. And he took me to this scripture, and I thought, I'm confused. And I told him I was confused. I don't understand why you're taking me here. Yet, as I read it, I realized that there was a reason for it, and that he wanted me to share that with you all tonight. So I sat at my computer, and I opened my Bible to Psalm 42. And if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open it to Psalm 42. Or if you have your devices and you have a Bible on your device, go ahead and bring it up. I'm actually reading tonight from the New International Version, which is not usually my go-to. However, it's kind of the one I grew up with. I became a Christian at 25, so it's not like I really grew up with the NIV, but when I was first introduced to the scripture, it was through this one. So God took me here to Psalm 42. And if you don't have a Bible and don't have the ability to follow along, just listen. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go up with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, and from Mount Mazir. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my Lord. May God bless the reading of his word. I sometimes just want to say, darn you, God. You know me so well. I'm tired of being okay for a while and then not being okay. And I think some of you can probably relate to that in your own life. Do you get tired of being okay and then not being okay? Maybe I should say it just the opposite. I get tired of not being okay, and then the little blips of being okay don't seem to last long enough. So I read this scripture with tears running down my face. And God has charged me as your pastor to be vulnerable and live out my life of faith in front of you and beside you. So here goes. This psalm was written by David. And while David was a man after God's own heart, he was also someone with extreme emotional highs and emotional lows. In scripture, we see him vacillate from the heights of rejoicing to the valleys of depression, from resolute confidence to feeble despair, and from glorious triumph to dejected grief. And in Psalm 42, David wrote about a time that he was in despair. He had fled Jerusalem. He had fled the temple where he had led the people into majestic praise to God. And he had done that because he had a rebellious son named Absalom who had run him out of town. And he fled for his life, and he was living in exile far from the city and temple of God. I can relate to that. It's not like physically I've had to flee and run from God, but there's times that I feel despair, that I feel isolation, that I feel aloneness, that I feel almost like I'm exiled from the rest of the world that goes on around you. Have you ever been through a circumstance that breaks your heart? How dare the world continue? Have you ever had that feeling before? How dare the world continue on around you when your world has stopped? And I think God chose David, who he calls a man after his own heart, because God has emotions. God has feelings. And as we read through the Bible, and in particular, as you read this first week, you're going to see God go from so happy with his creation, with the humans he made, to so frustrated that he says, "Why did we ever create these people? I'm going to destroy them all." We see the same message in the Bible that we read about from David, because David is a man after God's own heart. So what does that say about us? When we go through the peaks and valleys, and the valleys and the valleys and the valleys, and then every once in a while we climb up out of onto a peak. That's how my life has felt anyway lately. Maybe some of you can relate. What that says is that we have God's heart, that he's placed his heart within us. It says in Genesis that God breathed his breath into the human he created, and that human took on the form and likeness of God. And then we celebrated Christmas just week before this last week. And at Christmas time, we recognized that God came as baby Jesus. The excitement of that, the impression of the God who created the universe coming as a little tiny baby. We all love babies. We love baby puppies. We love baby everything. There's this new kids show. I have not seen it till this last week because I spent so much time with grandkids. It's called Tots. You would love it. It has every tiny baby animal that you could imagine in cartoon form. They are so darn cute. So anyway, if you just want a dose of cuteness, turn that on. There's something about that that brings us joy, that makes us just feel like there's just love in the world. And then we know the process that God went through as Jesus, that he became a man and that he gave his life for us. But in giving his life for us, he gave our lives back to us, because he gave us a piece of himself through the Holy Spirit. And that's how we have his heart. That's how we can actually look in the mirror and realize that God looks at us and says, "You are a person after God's own heart. You are a person after God's own heart. You are a person in whom God has placed his very heart. You are a person who God has placed his heart within." It's amazing when we realize that. When we realize that, then we understand. We understand why David goes to the level of saying, "I put my hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Now, David in this psalm was expressing a deep need. I think God wants to hear that. And I think we learned that through prayer last year, when that was our huge focus. God wants to hear from us, and we want to hear from God. And I think adding reading through the Bible is going to open our ears even more to hear from God. David called out from a place of profound need to an unfathomable great God. The first verse God took me to when he took me to this psalm was Psalm 42:7. And I've put that on the screen. "Deep calls to deep. The roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me." So he took me there first, and that's when I'm kind of like, God, I do not understand how this ties in with part two of the sermon. I get that I feel this right now, but what direction are you giving me? Well, I did a little more digging. I went a little deeper. And I found something written about the meaning of deep calling to deep. And it's by a couple of gentlemen, James Smith and Robert Lee, from a book, Handfuls on Purpose for Christian Workers and Bible Students. And it says this, "The deep of our need calleth unto the deep of God's fullness, and the deep of God's fullness calleth unto the deep of our need. Between our emptiness and his all-sufficiency, there is a great gulf. Deep calleth unto deep. The deep mercy of God needs our emptiness, into which it might pour itself. Nothing can fully meet the depth of our need but the depth of his almighty fullness." We hit upon the meaning of deep calls to deep when we recognize that human needs are great, but the riches of God are greater. We also hit upon it when we realize what it means to surrender to God, to empty ourselves of our own way, of our own ideas, of our own agendas, of our own will. And how a lot of times when we fill ourselves up with all of those things and try to figure things out and strive and claw and clamor through life, it hurts and it's hard. And when we move those things out of the way and in a way literally become empty, that's when God can give us the most of himself. That's what it means when deep calls to deep. We express our deep need. God, without you, I am empty. I think many of us have come to that point in our life, one time or another, and some of you just came to that point this last year, where you said, my deep parts of me are not what I want them to be. So I'm going to let myself become empty so that you can fill me up. That's something that we've experienced if we have asked Jesus Christ to be our Savior. I have a heartfelt passion for God's Word. God's Word is alive and living. God's Word restores those who are brokenhearted. I know that. I am going through restoration. I have been restored from things in the past. Maybe nothing as hard and difficult as I'm going through right now because grief is hard. But he is restoring me. In fact, I saw someone last night who I hadn't seen since July. And she said, "You look better. You sound better. You seem better." And I was able to say, "I am." And she said, "When I saw you last time, you looked sad. You looked heavy. You don't look the same as you did." And it's true because God restores our brokenness. God never fails us. It provides all that we need to navigate life, even when we don't know what lies ahead. 2 Peter was written by the Apostle Peter, the one who asked to walk on water, the one who said he'd never betray Jesus, the one whose faith was tested, yet even though sometimes he failed and fell short, Jesus said, "Peter, I'm going to call you the rock." The rock. He was the rock before Dwayne Johnson was the rock. He was the rock. And he said, on your faith, I am building my church. And Peter tells us this. He writes this, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence." This is an explanation of all that God has given us in Christ. And it's through the Apostle Peter that God exhorts us to grow in the knowledge of Christ. And we know Christ as the Word of God. And we know this book as the Word of God. And really, there's no more explanation needed as to the reason we're going deeper in our own faith walks here at New Vision this coming year by committing to read through the Bible. I'm putting a prayer up right now on the screen. And this prayer, some of you who were here last week prayed this prayer. And last week I talked about dangerous prayers and defined dangerous prayers as those prayers we can pray and know that God is going to answer. When you pray a prayer that you know lines up perfectly with God's will, he's going to answer. Jesus tells us that. He says, you ask anything in my name, and the Father will hear you, and he will give you what you ask for, because the Father wants to bring glory to himself through the Son. And so we take him at his word, and we recognize that when we pray a prayer like that, it becomes dangerous because God's going to answer it. And I have prayed a prayer similar to this one several times in my life, and I can tell you God answered it. Now, along the way, part of the journey involved healing, involved becoming a new person, involved recognizing some of what had happened in my past and how it had formed me into the person I was, and how part of who I was had been marred by the world, and that wasn't who God intended me to be in the beginning. And by praying a prayer that says, God, I want all you have for me, he says, okay, let's work on that. Let's work on that together. So I'd like you just to take a moment and just read this prayer to yourself. When it says, I believe it will be revealed through your word, that's referring to the Bible and committing to reading through the Bible together. Where it says, illuminate your word in my life, that's meaning you're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come along with you on this journey. When we end our prayers by saying in Jesus' name, what we're saying is, I'm coming in agreement with Jesus. Jesus says, if I ask for anything in his name, he is going to give that to me. If it lines up with the will of God. And so I'm going to come into agreement with Jesus by saying in his name, in Jesus' name. And then last week we talked about amen. Those of you who are here remember the amen? That the amen is like putting an exclamation mark at the end of a prayer. That it actually was a Jewish tradition in the synagogues prior to Christ coming and living on earth. And when the people heard a prayer being prayed that they agreed with, they would say amen. When they heard a statement made, they would say amen when they agreed with it. It is a vocal way of saying, you bet, I agree, I'm in on that. And the desert mothers and fathers, original Christian monks, they said when groups of people would get together, and they would worship God, and they would come into agreement, and there would be a chorus of amen, that it would sound like waterfalls roaring down the side of a cliff, or that it would sound like thunder rippling out from a place where lightning hit. And so last week we practiced that. We practiced putting a punch into the amen at the end of this particular prayer. So what I want to ask you to do is, if you're willing to pray this dangerous prayer, and even if you prayed it last week, we're going to do this repeatedly throughout 2020. So we're going to get a little bit of exercise. But I want you to think about it. I had you read it. And there's no peer pressure here, okay? There's no pressure. This is something between you and God. And then as a community, we're uniting together, those of us who are committing to do this. But when you are ready to pray this prayer as a group, will you just stand? And once those who have chosen stand, then we'll pray this together. If you, for whatever reason, are unable to stand, God knows what your heart is feeling and knows whether you're standing on the inside. So I invite you to just take a moment, contemplate that prayer, decide if you're ready to commit that on Monday you're going to start reading through the Bible. Let's pray this prayer together. And at the end, let's hit amen like we want the fire department to hear it when we say it, okay? We're going to do it loud. We're going to do it proud. Okay. God, I want all that you have for me, and I believe it will be revealed through your word. Illuminate your word in my life this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Amen. So you can go ahead and have a seat. You can stand. You can do whatever you want at this moment. The prayer station as well is open. Thank you for your commitment. I'm looking forward to this coming year. As you know, we usually have next steps at the end of our sermons. And this year, the next step will probably remain the same the entire year. We might add a few things occasionally, but it's going to be daily Bible reading. Because our next steps are how we connect the sermon that we hear from one week to the sermon we hear the next week. And the way we connect that is by all reading together through God's word. So in a couple of minutes, we're going to have silent response. And we haven't done this for a month or so because we had Advent and other things going on. But during silent response, what we do is just spend 2 or 3 minutes with God, reflecting on some of what we heard he say to us during this time of worshiping through the word. Reflect on what the Holy Spirit is doing in our heart. Reflect on what God might say to you during that time of silence, what you might want to say to God. And then after that time of silence, Marae and Cody will be up on stage again, and they'll be leading us into more worship through song. And Pastor Christina and I will open the communion table. And at that time, we'll invite you to come forward. I won't literally say come forward. The invitation will happen when the music starts to be sung and when we're holding the bread and the juice. But I want to remind you that we hold bread, we offer bread, because the night before Christ's betrayal, he was sitting having Passover dinner with his 12 closest friends, and he took the bread at the table and he broke it, and he passed it around to his friends, and he said, "Eat this and do this in remembrance of me, because it represents my body, which was broken for you." And then he took a chalice of wine and he said, "This wine represents my blood, which will be spilled for you, which will cleanse you from all your sin. Take this and drink in remembrance of all that I have done." And so this bread or crackers is what we serve, and juice, and it's gluten-free crackers, if anyone has any concerns about that, are representative of Christ's body and blood. And it becomes consecrated, and it becomes a holy representation. And our communion table is open to anyone and everyone who has accepted Jesus as their Lord in their heart. You don't have to be a member of this particular church to be able to take communion here. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll have a couple moments of silence. And then we'll come to the Lord's table. And during the time that we are worshiping through song, I want to remind you the cross station is open. If you have come in carrying a burden that feels heavy and hard, and you're hanging on to it, we always have a basket of rocks in the back by the cross, just so you can take a rock out and say, this feels heavy and hard like my burden, and I don't want it anymore. I'm not going to walk out of here with it. And you can place it at the foot of the cross and just say, Jesus, take it. That's all you have to do. Then it's up to Jesus to come and lift it from you. And he will. Someone might come and lay a hand on you and pray with you or ask you if you want prayer. You're always free to say, I want to just spend time alone with God, or invite them to pray with you. There's also sketch pads on the back table if you express yourself through art, and some Bibles to look up verses if you want to do that. I just ask that we keep this time as sacred and set apart for him as a time of worship. Will you join me in prayer now? Lord Jesus, you are a mighty God. You came to the world to reveal God's plan for us, your plan for us. It says in the gospel that you were in the beginning. You were with God and you are God. And then the word became flesh and the word lived among us. God, we look forward to this year as your word becomes more real to us. And as you dwell more deeply within us and with us, I pray that it will be alive, that it will be invigorating, and that you will just guide us, Lord, and that changes are going to happen here, that we will be allowed to dream of and see become reality, because we are partnering with you, because we are partnering with you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.